The first lesson for the Feast of All Saints is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we shall be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. A most blessed feast of all saints to you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So good to have you here in the holy house of God. So great to have our children's choir to prove true what our Lord said, that he has perfected praise out of the mouth of babes and infants. Thanks be to God. Well, this feast is a magnificent one. It's certainly one that I treasure dearly in my heart, and it's one that many in the church do, and for good reason. Today we celebrate the church triumphant. We celebrate all the saints in Christ Jesus, our Savior, who have gone before us, who have fought the good fight of faith, who have labored faithfully, and have now received their repose. They've received their most blessed rest from their labors. They've entered into glory. They've triumphed over the devil by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb, and the word of their testimony, the confession and witness of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, even unto death. They held this even unto death. And now the saints in heaven have come into bliss forevermore. And more, I'm convinced that we don't think or speak of this as Christians nearly often enough. I don't think we do. Would that we all thought about this daily. This is our future. This is where we're going. This is the direction that our lives are pointed to. The devil would like very much for you to think that this life will not give way to something better, that finally it will only get worse and not better. That's true for people who are outside the church. That's true for people who are cut off from the body of Jesus, but not for us, dear ones. Not for us. We are the redeemed people of God whom he has saved through the holy, precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's what defines us. And our future is unfathomably greater. It's indescribable, the glory and the beauty that awaits us, dear ones. And what I want to focus on in my homily to you tonight is one hugely important aspect of the bliss to come, and that is that we and all the countless saints in heaven who have gone before us, we will together enjoy perfect holiness and purity as royal priests who stand before the throne of God. We will see him face to face. This is our destiny. This is our future in Jesus Christ. In our first lesson in the Revelation of St. John, the curtain is pulled back, as it were. That's what the apocalypse is. In Greek, that's what the term is. Apocalypsis is a revealing. It's an unveiling. And that's precisely what it is. The saints, we see, are described as having washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Then, and only then, do they come before the throne to serve day and night. And this is necessarily the order that that happens in. The saints are cleansed, and then they come before God to serve him as priests. That's what they're doing. They're offering sacrifices of prayer and praise and thanksgiving. The work of atonement has already been done by our great high priest, and now they come as royal priests as well to offer thanks and praise to God. Okay, this is reflected even in the Old Testament, as a matter of fact, this act of cleansing and praise, this cleansing, and we come before God like this. This is what happened to the priests in the Old Testament. Before they would begin their daily duties as a priest, evening and morning, the priests would have to wash their hands and their feet. This was prescribed by God in Exodus chapter 30. You can read about it there. The priests had to wash their hands and feet in the font outside of the tabernacle and the temple so that they could handle the holy things with their hands and they could walk on holy ground with their feet. This is why they had to do this. And the rest of their body was covered by the holy vestments, their clothing, their robes that they would wear. These were holy, and thus their whole body, they put on this holiness that sanctified them and kept them safe in the temple, because if they didn't have those things, they would be burnt to a crisp. They would be utterly consumed by the holy presence of God. They had to be cleansed before they came into the presence of God. In the New Testament, we are cleansed in holy baptism of sin, and we come before God as his royal priests in the new covenant. And this is reflected, in fact, in the procession in the Holy Liturgy that we had in the beginning. We're cleansed by confession and absolution, which is an extension of our baptism. And then, and only then, do we process to the altar. And in this, we manifest the journey of the people of God who have been cleansed and ultimately are on their journey, their pilgrimage to our heavenly fatherland, to the throne of God, where we will worship day and night with the saints. This is what it is. We are God's holy, purified people, and they have the perfection of it in heaven. Thus, the saints in heaven are, in fact, purified and cleansed in death. That death is finally when, having completed the pilgrimage of this life, all sin and the old Adam in us and everything that is contrary to God is finally put away in the grave. Death is the final point where all of that is put away, and we are purified and cleansed to come before the throne of God as his people to offer sacrifices of prayer and praise and thanksgiving. So then, given the purity and holiness of the saints in heaven, this should drive us to repent of our sins, dear ones. The filth and muck and grime of our sins, they are so detestable and horrid in the sight of God that nothing less than the shed blood of God's own Son would cleanse us from them. Think about that. That's what it takes for our sins to be cleansed, for us to be cleansed of our sins, for them to be blotted out and put away. So steep a price is this, the very blood of God himself. Unless we sinners are cleansed by God, coming into his presence is like a spaceship flying into the sun. Eventually, that spaceship is going to be completely vaporized. It's going to disintegrate into absolutely nothing. This is what it's like for sinners to come into the presence of a holy God. He is a consuming fire. And unless he acts for our salvation and cleanses us and permits us to come into his presence, we are lost. We are utterly lost. And so then, given the purity and holiness of the saints in heaven, we should give thanks to God every single day, every day for our baptism. We should cherish this as the priceless treasure it is. Dear ones, baptism does what no amount of water, no amount of FDA-approved chemicals can do. Baptism washes us clean of sin because of the shed blood of Jesus. It purifies our conscience. The purity of Jesus, his shed blood, that benefit of that is given to us in our baptism. And all of you who have ever known the terror and horror and the hell, frankly, of having an impure and defiled conscience, you know the benefit then of our baptism. Dr. Luther certainly did. Again, the shed blood of Jesus blots out all of our sins, and through holy baptism, we are completely covered then in Christ's righteousness from head to toe. This is the benefit of baptism. It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. This is how St. Paul can talk about putting on Christ. We put on his righteousness. And so when God looks at us, that's exactly what he sees. He loves us so dearly that he would not deal with us according to our filth and grime and muck, but he deals with us according to his steadfast love for his Son. And so then, in recognition of, in anticipation of, in honor of our future state, where we're going, we should strive to live holy lives even now by the grace of God. Why shouldn't we? Why would we not do this? This is our most awesome and sacred calling by virtue of our baptism, dear ones. We are called to be members of the one holy Christian and apostolic church that we confess in the Nicene Creed. We are called to dwell with God himself as his people, both here and hereafter, in the age to come. And we look forward to that day when we will join the saints who have gone before us in heaven in the fullness of purity, in the fullness of holiness, and we will see God face to face. That's our hope. This is what the Holy Spirit works in us now, and he will bring it to completion at the end of the age. So give thanks to God, dear ones, that all the saints in heaven have received their rest, that they've been completely purified and cleansed of sin, and give thanks that this is our hope too, that finally we will share in their state, their blessed state in heaven, on account of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And to the same Jesus Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.